I'll get to my message here in just a second, but I was reading in the book of 3 John about a Bible character named Gaius. And Gaius, the book of 3 John was written to him, and John had written it to him, to a young man, Gaius. And this is what he told to him, because John had knew that he had walked in his truth. And he said, in the book of 3 John, he said, it's no greater joy than he has to know that his children walks in truth. Let me say this from a youth pastor, and I'm sure my pastor over here can attend to it. There's no greater joy than to know that somebody outside the walls of this church is still walking in truth. You see, we live in a day where truth has fallen in the streets, and people would rather believe a lie than believe the truth. But I'm glad there's still an old church in the old way, and an old-timey preacher that's still preaching the gospel and is still leading people to the Lord. Because let me tell you what, the gospel message still works this morning. And I want to thank Him, and I'm ever indebted for His grace to me. If you have your Bible this morning, be finding the book of Genesis, chapter number 26. The book of Genesis, chapter number 26. If you'll stand with me for the reading of God's Word. Finding the book of Genesis, chapter number 26. The Bible says in Genesis, chapter 26, and verse number 1. It said, "And there was a famine in the land beside the first famine, was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went up to Abimelech, king of the Philistines, under Gerar. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, Go not down into Egypt, dwell in the land which I tell thee of. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, and I will bless thee. For unto thee and thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father, and I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because that Abraham obeyed my voice, and kept charge in my commandments, and my statutes, and my laws." Turn over to verse number 12. The Bible says, Then Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year 100-fold. And the Lord blessed him. And the man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great. For he had possessions of flocks and possession of herds and great store of servants. And the Philistines envied him for all the wells that his father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham, his father, the Philistines, had stopped them and filled them with earth. And Abimelech said unto Isaac, "Go from us, for thou art much mightier than we." And Isaac departed from thence and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. And Isaac digged again. And Isaac digged again the wells of water, which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father for the Philistines that stopped them after the death of Abraham. And he called their names after the names by which his father had called them. And Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there was a well of springing water. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you for your word. Lord, I'm glad your word is truth, dear God. Lord, I thank you for this day, Lord, you've given us. I thank you for these young people you placed in my life, Lord. Lord, I thank you for this church family, Lord, you placed in my life, dear God. Lord, I'm forever indebted to grace this morning, Lord. I have no ability within me. Lord, I pray, Lord, you bless the word. I pray, Lord, you bless the preaching of your word, Lord. Help that one that's here this morning that's discouraged, Lord. I pray for that one that's lost here this morning. You'd save them. Thank you for all you do for us in Jesus' name. Amen. If I could take some time this morning, I want to preach on this thought, digging wells. I want to preach on this thought, digging wells. I find in the Bible here in Genesis chapter 26 is about a man named Isaac. And I'll say something about Isaac here, and it ought to inspire every daddy that's in this room to know. We all know who Isaac's father was, don't we? It was Abraham. And you know what Isaac did? He went back to where his daddy had left off. Let me say this about you fathers in here that's got children, young children. You're bringing them to class on Wednesday night. And I know it's tough sometimes to get here on Wednesday night. But I want to say this. He went back to what his daddy was doing. You see, his daddy knew how to dig a well. And he knew if his daddy knew how to dig a well, he ought to, in his mind and in his heart, he ought to know how to dig a well. Let me tell you what you daddies and mamas are doing here at the church house. Let me tell you what you're doing. You're digging wells in your children's life and you may not even know it. You're putting investment this world and this school may not know nothing about, but I'm telling you what you're doing. You're digging a well in their soul. And what, let me tell you what else you're doing. You're planting a seed in their life that one day is going to spring up into everlasting life. And you may not even be aware of that. But I'm here today to challenge a daddy and a mama to keep digging wells. Keep digging wells. You see, there's some things that I see in this passage of text. There's the importance of a well. You must know that water is a very essential part of life. Do you know if you was building a home, the first thing you better be doing is looking for a place that you can get some water. Back in the old days, they called it a well. I began to study about a well, and I noticed there was three types of well that typically that we see. There's a dug well. That's where they hand dig a well. How many of y'all know about old hand dug well? There's also what they call the driven well, where they drive pipes into the ground, and they drive it through the earth's surface, and they try to get it down to where they can touch some water. A driven well. Not only a driven well, but there's also a boring well, which they call a drill well. And most people today at their house have a drill well. Back in the Bible days, guess what? They didn't have a Caterpillar. They didn't have a John Deere tractor. They didn't have all the technology advancements. So the Bible said they had these old hand dug wells. And Isaac has gone back into Gerar. And he's going to finish the work that his daddy had done. You see, the Philistines had come and tried to stop the wells. Let me say this, the Philistines in the Bible is always a picture of the world. And let me tell you what the world, the first thing it'll do is try to stop your well. You see, God saved me April 8, 1998. And He produced inside of me a well of salvation. And you know what? It's up to me from that point on how I keep the well. I want to say this, the problem's not the water. You see, God's in charge of the water. Man may think they're the smartest person that's ever been on the face of this planet. Let me tell you what, there's something that man has never been able to produce. You know what it is? The simplest of things, they cannot produce water. God is in control of the water. But let me tell you what, on my part and on your part, guess what? It's your part to keep in charge of the well. You see, Isaac knew he had to get a well. He knew that he had great herds and he had great flocks and he had all these servants at this time. And you know what he needed? He said, I need a well. And I'm going back to the place to where my daddy was and where my daddy left off and where the world stopped off his wells and they filled them up with dirt. He said, I'll go back and I'll do the part. I'll do my job and I'll open back up the wells. Why? So somebody else can be blessed. You see, each one of you's got a well inside of you. And people can see that inside of you. And they see Jesus in you. And they can be blessed. And they can get a drink out of your well. That's why it's important for us as Christians not only to shine as a light, but to be a well for somebody that's thirsty. To somebody else's soul. The first thing I want us to look at in our text, if you'll look in verse number 15, I want you to see the problem of digging. You see, when Isaac showed up on the scene in Gerar, he soon to find out that there was a problem. Look what it said in verse 15. It said, for the wells in which his father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham, his father, the Philistines had stopped them and filled them with earth. Let me say this. There was a problem in his digging. And let me say this. If you're going to do something for God, you'll find out that there will be some problems that will happen on the scene. The devil has our number. Let me say this. The enemy has our number. The world has our number. They know how to stop up your well. Isaac, very shortly after he said, he looked out there and he said, I see the wells, but there's only one problem. They're filled up with dirt. The problem with digging is that you'll always see the enemy. Let me say this. Philistines being a picture of the world, they will come to stop your well. They will test you. They will taunt you, and they will try you. They'll say, why do you need to be a Christian? Why do you need to come to church on Sunday morning? And are you such a Christian that you even need to come to church on Wednesday night? That's the world's mentality. They say, what can I get out of it? I never will forget this. I was working on my first job down in West Point, Georgia, and I was working with a bunch of college kids. I just had got saved. I got saved April 8, 1998. I went to, for my first real job. I sacked groceries. I don't know if they can call that a real job or not, but anyway, my first, what I consider my real job, where I was a full-time employee, I was working in a center down in West Point, Georgia. A lot of y'all may know where that's at. It's just a small town, right? Just like Bowden is. It's holding Alabama and Georgia together as well, down there as well. Well, let me say this. I remember bringing my Bible. I just got saved, and it had been drilled in my heart to start reading my Bible. And I'd come into work, and we had these center consoles, and I'd come in there, and I'd lay my Bible there on my little console, and those college kids would see it. And I had one boy pick it up one day. And I'll tell you what, you may touch a lot of stuff in my that I own, and I may not care about it, but if you pick up my Bible, I'm gonna watch you if you pick up my Bible. I'll put it that way. I'm going to make sure you're going to be doing the right things with my Bible. I count it very serious about my Bible. A boy picked up my Bible. He said, why do you go to church? He said, why can't you watch it from home on the TV? Now, this is in 1998. This ain't after COVID hit. This is 24 years ago that a guy did this to me. We was all college students down in Auburn. They sent me my first job. He picked up my Bible. He said, why do you go to church? I remember talking with Brother John D. Weathers. Some of y'all will remember him. And I said, Brother John D., I had a guy tell me something about this. He said, why do we need to go to church when we watch it on TV? This is what he said. I never will forget it. He said, son, you can have a baby at home, but what's the best place to have that? He said, the hospital. Same way with church. COVID may have knocked us out of church for a little while, but I'll be the first one to admit, and if you've got to stay and you've got to watch at home, praise be unto God. And if you're sick, stay at home. But I want to say this about church. It's an essential part of our life. The Bible said, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. And God knew when He wrote it down that we ought to do it. Brother John D. struck chords in my heart. I said, I'll go back and tell that boy that. I went back and told him. He looked at me like an alien or somebody with a spaceship. But I wanted to say this. I'm glad we have a church here. I'm glad that Liberty Baptist Church is a well of springing water to a city called Bowden. But not only to Bowden. I'm glad it's all across the state of Georgia. I never forget, I was traveling with my pastor. I called a man, ordered a book. He said, who's your pastor? I said, Brother Ken Bowman. He knew him. He's from North Carolina. This church is touching places that people don't even realize. Not here just in Georgia, all across the United States, but not here in the United States, but across the world. When you send your money off to missions, I'm glad there's wells of water going out across, not just here, but everywhere across this world, because God has designed it. But let me say this. There's a problem that Isaac found here. There was a problem in his digging. He figured out that there was always going to be an enemy. The Bible said in Peter 5:8, it said, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, seeketh about whom he may devour. Let me say this. Anything you do for God, the devil doesn't like it. Young people, they have blessed my life. I stood up here with the greatest group of teens that I've ever seen that have opportunity and ability to impact the whole world. And God's going to do something great. And now let me tell you why. Because a mama and daddy has dug a well and invested in their children. And they will make impacts that we won't even know, that only heaven will reveal in their life one day because of that. The problem with digging. There was an enemy that would arise. You see, the Philistines would love to fill up our got to find my Bible. I don't even know where I put it. The Philistines would love to fill up your well with dirt. They'll kick a little bit over here. And they'll go over here a little bit and kick a little bit more. Sometimes they'll bring up a John Deere caterpillar or whatever you want to call it, dump truck load, and dump it right in your well. And that's the way Isaac found it. He found it to where they had filled up his daddy's wells. Very soon to figure out, and if you're going to do something for God, I'm going to tell you, there's going to be people that's going to try to kick dirt in your well. But I'm going to say it's up to you how you maintain that well. The problem of digging. Not only the problem of digging, I want to say this. Secondly, you'll see the place of digging. You'll notice where they decided to dig. I found it interesting that Isaac would build his well back where his daddy did to begin with, because the city of Gerar, if you read your Bible and study it, was a city of the Philistines. Now, you would have thought, being spiritual, I'm going to be spiritual. I'm going to go somewhere outside of the city of the Philistines. But God had commanded him to do it where his daddy had done it. And Isaac went right back to where his daddy had left off and began to dig those wells, the place of digging. You see, you can't just dig a well anywhere. My grandmother, she had an old hand-dug well. And I didn't have much experience. I remember as kids, I grew up on well water, but I didn't have a hand-dug well. We had a drill well that had walls, that had cement, and that water was down in there. She had one of those old hand-dug wells. I remember the day that we went down to my grandmother's house, and how many of y'all believe water, you should be able to see through the glass? You should be able to see what's on the other side. Let me say, that day we're down there, she poured me a glass of water. I looked up at my daddy and said, "We supposed to drink this?" And I was from the country myself. I grew up on a well. But let me say, it was a different story with old hand dug well. They had dug it, and then it rained, and it was just red. It had that red all the way through it. And I looked at the lemonade that she normally makes us. It was red. Went in there, looked at the toilet. The water in it was red. Everything was red. Because of an old hand-dug well. But let me say this. It may have been an old hand-dug well, but let me say this. For all her life, that well did the job. For all her life, that did the job. But you know why? Because it was in the right place. I noticed this on the way to church this morning because I knew I was going to preach this. I tried to go by everybody's house out there in the country where I live. See, I live out in the country. We didn't have county water on the road I live in until after year 2000. So a lot of people still have old wells there. Any house that was probably built before 2000 probably got a well somewhere. And I began to look where people had their well. And I remember where my daddy's got his well. His is almost out there at the road. And I looked at some people's houses this morning. My grandmother's was on the back porch. And that old hand-dug well, she actually had a rope that she could lower down with a bucket. And we could bring up well the water that way. But I noticed where people had their wells. They had them in the right place. They had somebody probably come out that knew a lot how to spot where water was. And they knew exactly where to dig. They wanted it in the right place. Why did they want it in the right place? Because they knew there'd be times when it would not rain, and there'd be droughts, and there'd be dry times. But they wanted to make sure that wherever they dug that well, there was always going to be water there. They wanted to make sure that they had dug deep enough to get down below that water table. So when dry times and tough times would hit, guess what? There's one thing they didn't want to have to worry about, and that was water. They wanted to put that well in the right place. I want to say this to all you that are here this Sunday morning. You're in the right place. There's a well that my pastor and the men of this church have dug over time, and they've dug it deep enough to where there'll always be water here. It's up to you how you want to do your well, though. But I praise God for the ones that went on before us and the ones that took time and they prayed over it, and they've done everything to put a well in the right place so that we'll always have water. You see, the place of digging. And I'll hardly go on from that. The place of digging, it was in the right place. It had the right plan. They wanted to make sure those walls, they told me this with a hand-dug well, that as they would dig it out, they put things on the side to keep it from caving in and trying to keep the dirt. They had the right plan. Not only do we see the problem of digging, the place of digging, but I want to say thirdly, you'll see the price of digging. You see, I noticed that when you're digging a well, it'll always cost a price. It'll always cost. And let me say this about digging a well. The deeper you go, the more it's going to cost you. The deeper you dig your well, the more that price is going to cost you. They do it, I think they do it by the foot. Brother Daniel can probably correct me if I'm wrong on that. But also in the spiritual world, let me say this. The deeper you go with God, the more it's going to cost you. I want to say this, though. It's going to be the most rewarding thing that you ever did. I hadn't got a sad story to tell. It's been worth every mile of the trip. And for everything that I've done, God's blessed me tenfold. If you'll notice in the story, He blessed Isaac 100-fold for him doing and going back and digging a well. It's worth every mile of the trip. Talking about the price of digging. It's going to cost you some time. It's going to cost you some money. It's going to cost you some blood. It's going to cost you some sweat. It's going to cost you some tears. But I tell you what, it'll be the best time of your life. I can testify to that. Serving God's been the best trip that I've ever been on. I didn't know what I was missing until I got saved. And then when I got saved, I realized what all I was missing out on. Talking about the price of digging. I want to say this to all the preachers in the building. Just keep preaching. For all the teachers that are in here, just keep teaching. For all you that sing, keep singing. To all you that are praying, keep praying. Why? Because you're digging a well that somebody else that's going to come by the life's road and life's journey, and they're going to need to take a drink. Just keep on preaching. Keep on teaching. Keep on singing. Keep on going the extra mile. God will bless it at each mile of the trip, the price of digging. You say, well, my son or my daughter won't come to church. And I've been praying over some time. Somebody asked me that one time. Said, you don't understand it. My son or my daughter, they're never going to come to church. I said, sometimes you just have to trust the word. The Bible said in Proverbs 22:6, that train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he won't depart from it. And sometimes you have to get, an old black guy, preacher man, told me this one time. He said, sometimes you just have to get on the verse and write it. And let me say this, mom and daddy, you may think no hope's there. But just get on that verse. Just get on that verse. I live with a daddy that never went to church with me. I remember the first time he went to church with us was 12 years old. I remember my daddy older in life, God working in his life, God moving in his life. Now my daddy's going to church every week. But I'm going to say this, it was a big price that had to be paid for that to happen. Let me say this, train up a child in the way he should go when he's old and not depart from it. Sometimes you just have to ride that verse right there until God does something. Just keep praying. Don't think all hope's gone. But let me say this, I figured out it ain't over till the fat lady sings with God. It ain't over with him till it's over. I'm glad God still got some things he can do. When it's out of our control and we turn it over to him, I'm glad God has got some things that he wants to do. Talking about the price of digging. And I'll close with this. You'll see in our text, you'll see the problem of digging. You'll see the place of digging, the price of digging. But lastly, I wouldn't want to leave you in that. There's a promise in digging. There's a promise. If you'll read in this text, Isaac, he dug four wells. He dug three over in the land of Gerar. Each one, the first one he dug, his herdsmen strove with the herdsmen of Gerar, and they gave it over to him. He dug another one, and he gave it over to him. Then he dug another one, and they said, oh, we'll keep that one. And then they moved. Isaac picked up his tent, and he built an altar, and he went to Beersheba, and he built his last well. And let me say this, there's always a promise in digging. The first thing I did last night, I said, if you dig deep enough, will you always find water? If you dig deep enough, will you find water? I did what every people my age do. We go to Google, and guess what we do? We put it in the search bar. If I dig deep enough, will I find water? And let me say this, the consensus of the story is, you will find water if you dig deep enough. I say all that to say this, the problem is never the water. Are you willing to dig? It's all about digging that well, the promise of it. If you'll read in the last part of this verse, and let's pick up in Genesis 26 and verse 26, talking about Abimelech, and this is where Isaac is, he's heading off to Beersheba for his last well that he's picking up from his, he's unstopped his daddy's well and he's digging a new well. And he's heading off to Beersheba. He said, and then a bit in verse 26, Abimelech went to him from Gerar and Ahazazath, one of his friends, and Phicol, the chief captain of his army. And Isaac said unto them, wherefore come ye, seeing ye hate me, and have sent me away from you? And they said, we saw certainly that the Lord was with thee, And we said, let there be now an oath betwixt us and betwixt us and thee, and let us make a covenant with thee. And thou wilt do us no hurt, as we have not touched thee, and we have done unto thee nothing but good, and have sent thee away in peace. Thou art now the blessed of the Lord. And he made of them a feast, and they did eat and drink, and they rose up betimes in the morning, and sware one to another. And Isaac sent them away, and they departed from him in peace. And here it is. And it came to pass that same day that Isaac's servants came, and they told him concerning the well which they had dug, and said unto him, here it is, we have found water. Let me say this, church, if we're willing to dig deep enough, there'll be some water. I'm glad people have invested their time in this church and invested in my life and put time in my own life. Why? So that I could have some water. You see, there was a time in my life that I found myself thirsty, not having anything to drink. I was just like Olivia when she got up here and said, I went to church camp. And I didn't have the peace of God. I can remember sitting on the front row of Faith Baptist Church, April the 8th, 1998, and I didn't have the peace of God in my whole, in my soul or in my heart. But I'm glad there were some people that was praying. And I'm glad people were digging wells that I didn't know anything about. I was just a recipient of the water out of their well. But I'm glad today, you know, it's up to me how I dig a well. I want to leave something for a generation to come that they can get some water to drink out of and allow those young people to dig a well. Let me say this, church. It's up to us how we keep our well. The problem is not the water. The problem is the well. Don't let life kick dirt in your well. Don't let it kick dirt in your well. Why? It's all about the maintenance. You see, I noticed this with an old well. There's some things that can come into a well. There's contaminants. There's pollutants that can come into an old well. My uncle one time had some kind of pest that got into his well, and it got in there and it died in his well. Any of y'all ever heard of that problem? And here they go pouring Clorox and all kinds of stuff down in the well to try to clean it up. Let me say this. It's up to us how we keep our well. Church, dig deep. It may be a price to be paid today, but there may be a price that you may have to pay today to dig deep. And it's going to cost you something. I wish I could say it was easy. I wish I could say it was free. The salvation is free. I know it is. But to keep this thing and keep that well in operational order, it's going to cost us something to dig. It's going to cost us something to maintain that well. Not long ago, my daddy called me. He's got out there at the road, he's got his well, and it has points and all that on it. And it's bad for those points to go out. I know it. While I walk outside, my daddy lives next to me, and he'll run a hose pipe from his house to my house and get my water. I said, thanks, Daddy. I always know when his well ain't working. You know why? Because he'll have that hose pipe stretched from house to house. Well, let me say this. His old wells never run dry. It may have been a problem with the well, but it's never been a problem with the water. His points may have went out. His pressure tank may have went out. His pump may have went out. But let me say that. Out of all ways, every time I went to that old well and I pulled that old cement lid off, I've looked down in there. Guess what was still in there? I could drop something in there. I do it every once in a while. Just if I'm ever working just so I can see that hit that, I'll take a little rock or pebble and drop it down in there just so I can see that water ripple down there. It's always had water. Let me say this, Jesus is the water. It's up to us how we keep our well. My pastor's coming, and I'll turn this over to him. You may be here, and life's kicked dirt inside your well, and you don't know how to maintain it. Come to an old-fashioned altar and let God help you with the dirt that life's kicked over in your well. You may be here, and you said, I've never had that well of salvation spring up in my soul. It'd be a good morning to step out and receive Christ this morning. Let me tell you what he'll do. He'll put that well of water down in your soul. And now let me say this, it'll never run dry. Thank you, Pastor.